Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, 612, we roll now with the show, which is number 600. No, it's not. 946. That's 946. Welcome back, Steve. Thanks.
Hey, welcome back,
welcome
Steve.
Welcome back, Steve.
You guys have a nice time with Pete McMurray while I was out?
We were off on Friday.
We were off Friday, too.
You guys have a nice time Thursday with Pete McMurray?
We had a good time with Pete Thursday, but it was, you know, nothing like with you.
We had a good time Friday, too.
So,
who actually
welcome
worked
back
with Pete
I was
McMurray.
Here Friday. I was here.
Oh, okay.
So it was the Pete and Grisanet show?
You know, Jane was here.
Jane
Carm was here.
Susan was here.
Yeah. Susan.
Yeah. And Susan was sick all week, Mayor.
I heard. Yeah. I feel so bad.
You should.
Oh, man. I heard her, too, a couple times, and I went, oh, no, she's sick, too.
You should probably clean that microphone off as well.
Yeah. I did. I sanitized already. Thank you.
I wouldn't even be in that room if I were you.
What?
But Susan Berkus, you know what? Over the weekend, I played in this golf tournament at White Eagle, the big member guest tournament. And over the weekend, I came to realize that one of the members, who's a friend of mine, a dentist, a guy named Paul Cabuto, is Susan Berkus's dentist.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Really?
How funny is that?
So my goal is to meet all of your dentists at some point.
Oh, you'd love my dentist. He looks like John Lovitz.
What do you have to say about Susan's teeth?
Said they're terrific.
Oh, good. Well, I would think so.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Wait, big question. How'd you do in the tournament?
Second place.
Oh, it's good.
Wow.
Very good.
In our particular area.
And what'd you get?
Very
Did
nice.
You win something? A little trophy?
$1 million.
Ooh.
Yeah, $1 million. Yeah, I'll be sharing it with all of you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
On the program today, big announcement from the Blackhawks coming up this morning at 7:40. Can't say what it is. It's
Can you use a hint?
Nope.
Okay.
Paul Coit later, live from London. The president says he's not going to go to the UK until they applaud him. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
No.
Leak from Buckingham Palace said the president told the Theresa May, who told the Queen, that he will not be accepting their UK invitation until he's sure he's going to get a good response.
Yeah, tears all throughout the UK. Tears of joy.
Well, we'll find out. We'll ask Paul. Yeah. Paul may be very upset. We don't know. We got some EAA adventure tickets to give away, and Dr. Most, of course, in a few minutes. And one of the most interesting guys I saw on Sunday morning political TV. I've been meaning to get this guy on for a while. His name's William Browder. He was the largest private investor in Russia. And then he got wind of what Putin was really all about, and he left. But not before his attorney in Russia was murdered. And now he is speaking out about Putin, and he has specific information about why the Donald Trump Jr. meeting was so dangerous and really wants America to wake up before it's too late. So we'll talk to William Browder, who knows. Who, by the way, also says that Vladimir Putin's worth $200 million.
I would think...
$200 billion, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I would think it'd be more.
$200 billion. Yeah. Billion dollars. Wow. Says he's the richest man in the world by far. So we'll get to that all coming up. Well, a few laughs here and there, too, at 6:15. Mary's back from Mosquito Junction. And did you have a nice Wisconsin week? Was that where you were?
Yes, northern Wisconsin. It was wonderful. Four
See if
dogs.
This sounds familiar.
Oh, my gosh. The mosquitoes were a little nasty.
Yeah,
but the flies were worse. The flies were worse. So anyway, four dogs, a baby, and many children. It's kind of nuts.
Oh, you set up for a joke.
Yeah.
Four dogs, a baby, and many children walk into a bar.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the Top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Men.
Just horrific conditions. Still, as records are tumbling, as the Des Plaines River nears a high water mark, Fox River as well. I wish there was something we could do. I wish there was something that's substantial that we could do to help, other than just say we feel for you and we're sorry you're going through it. Now, yeah. A week plus later, is it the Fox River supposed to crest tomorrow?
Yeah, the Fox River tomorrow. So Cook now is included in this disaster proclamation, which is good because now we can get some federal funds if all goes planned. Now, the problem is that there's still evacuations that could be called for this week in Lake McHenry and Kane counties as well. And the Fox River, like you mentioned, Steve, is at dangerous levels. It started to recede over the weekend, but that Governor Rauner, when he was touring that area yesterday, said that a lot of those homes and areas where people still are could be evacuated today or tomorrow.
To be determined, and good luck, and we mean that with all sincerity. The health care bill, it will not be voted on this week. It may not be voted on next week. It may not get voted on at all, but one of the key votes is John McCain's because the Republicans need every one of them. McCain is out for at least this week. Keep in mind, he is an 80-year-old man, and it may take longer than just this week. We'll bring this up to Dr. Most when he's on, but he had a tumor above his right eye removed. I'm sorry, a blood clot above his right eye removed. Big difference there. Blood clot above his right eye was removed. And we don't know how big a deal it is or small a deal it is. But again, you know, he's an older dude. The plan to dismantle the Affordable Care Act has to wait for him to come back. And as of now, the votes amongst about 9 or 10 others are very iffy at best. In other words, it's a very stressful time for Mitch McConnell. I want the insurance thing to work out, but I enjoy when Mitch McConnell's struggling.
No kidding, right?
Yeah, that's fun for me.
By the way, can you come up with a better name? Because it's so difficult to say. The so-called Better Care Reconciliation Act.
Well, they called it the Affordable Care Act, and the American... There was the ACHA.
Right.
I don't even know what it stood for. And then it was the Better Care Act, and it just called Trump Care.
Trump exactly. Care, McConnell it's much care. Easier it's to easier. Say McConnell yeah. Care. Yeah.
We don't have that kind of time to say the whole name. The president watched the LPGA's U.S. Open from his golf club in New Jersey, but he took time out on Twitter to rip Hillary Clinton and rip the news media for its coverage of his son's meeting with a Russian lawyer. Here's what I don't need to hear anymore, how the meeting was no big deal. And now the story is no big deal. We got to cover what really matters. This is what really matters. Mm-hmm. You need to know if there are spies and morons in the White House. One of those two we're pretty clear on. The other we just still need an investigation of. And you have to get to the bottom of that. You can't look the other way. And young Kushner's got something to answer for because he's now added 100 names to people he should have told the feds about initially when he asked for a security clearance.
Isn't it crazy, too, how many people were allegedly in that meeting? Well, first it was three, then just the Russian lawyer. Every day.
It's eight or more now.
Exactly. Every day.
Yeah.
There's more people. How big was that room?
right. Turns out they were in a ballroom in a hotel. President Trump's announced Made in America Week, which will showcase products from all 50 states. However, when a reporter said, does that mean Ivanka will have her products made in America? Now they said, and I quote, we're going to have to get back to you.
You can't make it up.
Only in Trump world would that be allowable. Again, it's Made in America Week, showcasing products made in America. Will Ivanka stuff be made in America? We're going to have to get back to you.
Aren't those Make America Great hats that he wears?
They're made outside of America.
Indonesia and China.
Yeah. Next. With apologies for the pronunciation, Xu Wang, an American graduate student in history from Princeton University, was arrested in Iran and has been sentenced to 10 years in prison on charges he was spying for the United States. An Iranian judiciary official said on Sunday, obviously coming on the heels of Otto Warmbier dying in North Korea, this is a scary thing to hear for a young person being arrested in Iran. We don't know. We don't know anything other than that, but we hope for the best when it comes to an outcome. And finally, 35 in tennis, Dave. What tennis years? 35 in tennis. It's probably like dog years, right? 7 years per year?
Something like that.
So it's 245 to you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, Roger Federer, I think he's 35, isn't he?
He's almost 36.
Almost 36.
Yeah, oldest man in this era to win Wimbledon.
Oldest man ever. Oldest ever. He's the oldest guy ever in history. Roger Federer defeated Miron Cilic to win his eighth Wimbledon singles title. You know, Cilic there had a blister. Almost had to quit or retire. as they say. Mm-hmm. He was hoping Federer would retire midstream or wander off into the woods. But is his record 8th Wimbledon singles title. That's a record. But the bigger news, Dave, is on the women's side. Let's go live to London now, where Dave has is just finishing off his final. What do you have for breakfast over there? Strawberries and cream?
Strawberries and cream.
Or yeah. Bangers and mash.
Strawberries and a cream?
Wimbledon. It's all England club. It's the specialty.
That's right. You have fish and chips and cream as well?
No, I don't think so. But they were short on strawberries this year, apparently.
Oh, no. All right. So what do you have from the women's side?
Garbiñe Muguruza.
Fantastic news. That's my girl.
She is. She won on Saturday women's championship, defeating Venus Williams.
You called that a week earlier.
I said Garbanzo Beans is the one to go with.
You did.
Yeah. And again, Dave, making up names, that's not her real name. Her real name is Becky Smith.
Well, I knew Becky Smith.
Could be the same one.
I love the immediate. It's like Andrea tweets or texts us on Saturday.
I did.
Good that Garbiñe Muguruza had won Wimbledon, as if I had made the whole thing up. And then you responded, Garbanzo.
Yeah, Garbanzo. Well, that's what we yell when we follow Garbiñe around the country. We yell Garbanzo.
You were so animated in your text.
It's very exciting. Very exciting. Top six brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-minute man at 627. We take this break, come back for the big story next, and Dr. Kevin Most on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Time for Dr. Kevin Most.
I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
It's sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Oh, and that's John DeCoste singing there. John's back from his two-week Iowa stand-up comedy tour. Or not Iowa, Ohio. What am I saying? He's big in Ohio. And he'll be back with us on Wednesday. Kevin Most joins us now from his swanky office. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. Doing fine. And we have beautiful weather, and it's hard to fathom when you look at the monitors here and you see pictures of the flooding off the display of the Fox Rivers.
Unbelievable how much water they got up there.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
And it's a week plus deep here. All right. So before we get the heat and we're going to have a lot of humidity this week, what do you make of this John McCain story?
It's interesting. You know, we've talked about blood clots in the brain in the past, and it's fascinating that they brought this up to talk about it, that they're even being as open as they are. So McCain had a clot removed from his brain, just above the eye here. They had to go in and do surgery. A lot of these now we can go in and go minimally invasive and go in through the leg and go out and get these clots. They probably weren't at a point where they could reach that, so they had to go and do essentially a craniotomy where they open up a portion of the skull. And went in to take the clot out. It was in the front of his brain there, so it's in the frontal lobe area. Doesn't affect his speech or activity or any motor. It's actually where we have more emotional aspects of our brain.
What's the great danger there if the clot were to, would it be rupture or block? I guess it wouldn't be rupture, it'd be an aneurysm, right? Well, I mean, what's the danger of this particular clot?
Yeah, you know, any danger with any clot is that it's stopping blood flow to go to where it's supposed to go. So we're not getting areas of the brain that are either getting enough blood flow or it's not getting back to the body quick enough.
So stroke would be the biggest issue.
Correct. Absolutely. A stroke would be the biggest issue. And, you know, when it's already there, it's a question is there a small portion of a stroke that's now going to kill a portion of that brain? You know, a 2-inch clot is pretty good size. I mean, we're talking about a lot of clots in the brain that are very small and still have a big impact. But again, like I said, it's not where the portion of the brain where we have any motor or sensory skills.
There was a point at the end of the James Comey hearing where John McCain asked several questions that were incomprehensible. And this is a guy that is absolutely on his game and is far younger than his 80 years. And is one of the biggest power players in Washington, and is just not a guy who appeared to be slipping at all. That was, 6 weeks ago? Something like that? Is it possible that there could have been, you know, something impactful from that may have been starting back then, or maybe it was part of this?
Absolutely. I mean, that's actually, I think, what triggered it is, you know, those questions. And then they said, hey, you know what, we need to get you in. And that's what made the doctors go in and start doing the testing to find this. And again, you know, as you know, we're talking about mental status changes there versus somebody that has a seizure or someone that has a motor difficulty and slurred speech, that definitely could have done it. So definitely, you know, good that they worked it up, because like we said, any clots in the brain can really go on and make things a lot worse.
Trump's medical health came up over the weekend again, kind of as an aside, but there was some video of him walking with Emmanuel Macron in France and stopping several times. And his former biographer, who's known him for a very long time, citing the fact that, you know, he's an older guy now as well, thinks he's not healthy. Now, we know he eats like a 12-year-old, which is a bad combination. We know he's overweight. But also, he pointed out, and I guess I hadn't noticed it, and by the way, we also know that he has balance issues because he had referenced to Theresa May to hold on to his arm, and when you see him coming down the steps of Air Force One, sometimes it's problematic for him. Listen, I can sympathize with all of that. I'm 56, and with my knees, it's a problem for me. Having said all that, this particular biographer said, you will notice that Trump stops several times now. When he's walking even more than a handful of steps, he'll stop and look around or point something out. There was also a moment a week or so ago where he got off Air Force One, the limo for him, the presidential limousine, was right in front of him. It's got a big old seal on the side of it. And he turned to the right and walked away. And then they pointed out where the car was and he came back. Now, listen, he's the president. He could have been deep in thought about something. Things like that happen. But I didn't hear anything outside of the stopping and looking around thing that was new that would be kind of revelatory about a 71-year-old man. I mean, a 71-year-old man with a weight problem, I mean, yeah, I'm not surprised he's probably not feeling great 24 hours a day.
Yeah, and like we talked last week about balance, you know, this is something that affects a lot of people, so maybe a little bit of that as well. But let's go back to McCain just really quickly for a second, because I want to make sure that we're clear that we don't know where this clot was taken from. So the clot, you know, we know the portion of the brain, but we can get clots in our brain from being struck in the head, from falling. So, you know, was this a clot that was not deep into the brain? I'm not sure. We don't know that. But that's the conversation, is that the clot was removed from that portion. So whether it was in the brain or just outside the brain is still unclear.
Yeah, and allow me to be clear. I don't want Trump to be president, but I don't want him to be sick and in you know, a death's
ill,
door.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Yep.
Doc, I hear a lot of dehydration blamed for a lot of things. Anything that where you're losing balance or you're winded or you're tired or you feel weak, and I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm just dehydrated. I just need more water.
Yeah, very possible, especially this time of the year. We'll touch on that. But, I mean, dehydration, very key, because your body has to make reactions when they're dehydrated to try to protect different parts of the body. And when it does that, it's going to try to keep its fluid as much on the inside as it can, and we don't get as much to the sensory portions of our feet that we need. So definitely dehydration can cause it.
All right, let's go backwards here for a second. Heat indexes. We hear heat index is 100. Heat index is 110. What's a heat index? How we feel?
No, not it's the actual what the temperature that you feel. So it feels like, even though it's only 90 something, it feels like it's 100 plus. And the reason because that, especially here in Chicago, is it comes down to the relative humidity. Because what we need is we need dry heat in order to for our cooling system to work. So when we get humidity up very high, you know that, right? You go out and you work out, and it's a low humidity day, and your shirt gets sweat. You sweat into your shirt. That shirt dries out very quickly. You come on a relative humidity day where it's 60, 70, 80%. That shirt stays soaked because that water is not evaporating into the atmosphere. And when that happens, we're not cooling as well.
And we have a very humid week this week. Well, explain the basics of sweating to us. Sweating isn't just something your nasty cousin does. Sweating is something we all do because the body needs it, right?
Correct. You know, when we talk about temperature ranges, the body's amazing if you really think about it. We keep our body temperature within about 3 or 4 degrees, regardless of whether it's 20 degrees out or 100 degrees out. So we talked in the winter about what we do to keep what our body does to keep warm. We do the exact same thing in the summer, except the opposite, essentially. What we have is we have a cooling system, and the body will sweat when it gets too hot. It's going to maintain that temperature between, say, 97.5 and, you know, close to 100. That's our normal body temperature range. So what the body's going to say is, you know what, I'm creeping up too high. Time for me to cool down. I'm going to produce sweat. So we get sweat, air blows over that, and that dissipates heat. So very important. Sweating is not just sweating is actually helping us keep our body temperature where it needs to be to keep our brain and kidney and heart functioning.
Yeah, sweating's healthy.
It is healthy.
I don't care how clammy I am when you hug me. Sweating's healthy.
My dad always said, do something to sweat every day. That's what he always said.
I think that's a good rule of life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Doc, with this week, with the humidity, and we saw some of this over the past few days as well, when you get humidity in the 80 and 90% range,
yep.
That's where it's a problem, a big problem, I would think.
Right, because you know that sweat is not going to evaporate. And when that sweat doesn't evaporate, then your body temperature continues to rise. So that's the biggest concern is we want to make sure stay in cool environments, stay in drier environments so that the sweat can actually evaporate and cool your body and keep your temperature where it's supposed to be.
Let's do traffic here, then we'll come back, talk about heat exhaustion, heat stroke, talk about why you should take the rest of the week off and just stay in a dark room. Dr. Kevin Mull, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. We go back to Dr. Mose now. Hey, our friend Kurt Byram doing a great job on his European tour.
Yeah, have you had a chance to catch up with him?
Yeah, he was on with us last week before I had a couple days off. And I just watched him call the Scottish Open this week. He's doing great stuff. Did you say our other pal Chris Smith, PGA Tour professional Chris Smith, went over?
Chris is actually there playing with his dad and his brothers. They just came back on Saturday evening. So
what a cool trip.
Yeah, yeah. He was sending pictures back and forth, and they enjoyed. They played the old course and North Berwick, and he was playing with North Berwick with his dad and his son, which was a really cool trip for them.
The winning prize in the White Eagle member guest was a trip for four to Ireland to play all the best courses, and we lost by two.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You ought to get to play one.
Yeah.
Recount.
I'm not bitter at all. At 6:54, we continue talking about the heat in a very humid week to come. What is the difference between heat stroke and heat exhaustion?
Yeah, we've all had a portion or a spectrum of heat exhaustion. So heat exhaustion, you know, that's when you've been out in a while and you get a little thirsty, you feel a little weak, you get a little headache, you're a little nauseated, you're just kind of on the edge there. And that's just, you know, the body is still trying to catch up and is still trying to cool itself down. So you're sweating and you're just caught a little bit. Sometimes you get a little bit behind in your fluids and, you know, that's going to make you feel a little bit weak and nauseated. Definitely something that can be treated by the individual themselves, by people around them, and not a true emergency for the most part. Heat stroke, exactly the farthest of that spectrum there. That's when the body essentially stops its cooling system from working and you stop sweating, and now that core body temperature starts to go up very dramatically, life-threatening, and something that really needs to be taken care of in an emergency room setting, not something that you want to try to manage in the field or in your home.
Doc, how about when you're swimming? A lot of pool parties going on now. I know I've heard people say, oh, well, you know, I'm going in the pool. I'll have a cocktail or a beer, whatever, but I'm going to go in the pool and cool off.
Yeah. And you know what? That's not a bad idea. The pools are usually pretty much cooler and at least will allow your body to lose a lot of core body temperature while you're in the pool. So it's not bad as long as that person's not weak and nauseated and drinking excessively where they're going to be in harm from being in the pool. The other thing is concerning is that those individuals that are at that point where they start to get muscle cramps, it's one place you probably don't want to be is swimming in a pool when you start to get muscle cramps.
It's so definitely going to hurt your swimming.
It'll definitely hurt your speed. Yeah, your times will be way off. You can definitely be injured there.
All right, now there's a between state as well, between heat exhaustion and heat stroke, and I think that's what you were in when you and I played golf a few years ago at the BMW, and you had to leave the course. And we had to ice you down, but you stopped it before you got to the heat stroke, right?
Really well, because you were said while we were playing golf.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I was playing golf.
When I say we, I mean those of us who didn't have caddy, there weren't caddying. You were caddying at that point.
Yes, as I remember, my brother and I were caddying for you and Chris Smith.
And it was crazy hot.
Yeah.
But you had not reached the heat stroke, get him in an ambulance state, but you were on the way.
Correct, I was. I was probably, you know, transitioning towards that. I was still sweating. I was still cooling down, but I was definitely lightheaded. I was definitely nauseated, definitely not feeling well. And fortunately, had, you know, the great guys from Western Golf there to take care of me and got me back. Actually, what I was probably joined you guys back in about five or six holes. So
it was pretty amazing. Yeah. And when you think about it, not just because Doc's in good shape, because he is, but when you think about it, if it can happen to Dr. Kevin Most, it can happen to anybody. And it comes up quick, and you're not the best person to make decisions for yourself once you get into that position, especially if you're a dopey guy. So what should your friends be looking for to realize you're in trouble?
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that you said there is, you know, we want to make sure that we are prepared for things. So making sure that you, you know, take a big bottle of Gatorade or a big bottle of water before you start. That day was one of those days where we're running around doing things. The next thing you know, you're on the first tee and you're like, wow, my tank's half empty already.
Right.
And now I'm going into this environment. But what you really want to start watching people is, are they making bad decisions? Are they doing things? Do they look a little bit weak? You know, those are the individuals that you want to make sure you get them into a cool environment and start to get those fluids back into them. Because it's usually in those cases, it's going to be that combination of dehydration where the body's not working well.
We will post the notes, as always, the incredible notes that Dr. Most does every week, including a top 12 list of things to keep an eye on. But remind people before I let you go one more time about rotating water and Gatorade.
Yeah, and, you know, some people disagree with me, but I think it's a good idea. You know, one thing is every half hour you should be taking at least 8 ounces of fluid, and you should also make sure that you're urinating. If you're not, the body's telling you I don't have enough. But I'm a big advocate of rotating the two, and the reason being is that water does not have glucose and electrolytes in it, and when we sweat, you've tasted your sweat, you know how salty it is, you're losing a lot of electrolytes. So that altering, you know, every other bottle of water and Gatorade allows you to get that glucose into you and then also keeps your electrolytes in balance.
Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. Thanks, as always. Enjoy your day.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
See you later. Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I have no dealings with Russia. I have no deals in Russia.
And, you know, you can talk all you want about Russia, which was all a, you know, fake news.
I own nothing in Russia. I have no loans in Russia. I don't have any deals in Russia.
I have no investments in Russia, none whatsoever. I don't have property in Russia.
But they always blame Russia. And the reason they blame Russia is because they think they're trying to tarnish me with Russia.
I've done a lot of business with the Russians.
You can't make it up. You just can't make it up. Bill Browder is the author of Red Notice. He's at BillBrowder.com, also the CEO of Hermitage Capital and the head of the Global Magnitsky Justice Campaign. Will explain who Magnitsky was and why it's such a personal issue for Bill, who joins us now. Good morning, Mr. Browder.
Good morning to you.
I have been an admirer for quite some time now, and I saw you over the weekend with Fareed Zakaria again, talking about your piece of this story. But let's back up for a second. And I also want to tell people about Red Notice because I want people to get the book. But the Magnitsky Act, which we've heard a lot about since the story of the Donald Trump Jr. meeting came out, is about an individual who was somebody you care deeply about and you were putting your life at risk as you continue to be out front on the story. So who is Magnitsky to you?
Sure. So just to give a little more background, I was the largest foreign investor in Russia for many years. I uncovered massive corruption in the companies I invested in. I started to expose it to try to get it to stop. And as you can imagine, that upset the Russian government. They expelled me from the country. They raided my offices and seized all of our documents. And I ended up hiring a young lawyer named Sergei Magnitsky, who was at the time 35 years old, worked for an American law firm, to help me figure out why they're raiding my offices. He researched the whole situation and discovered that using the documents seized from my offices, a bunch of corrupt officials had stolen $230 million of taxes that we paid from the Russian government. And he exposed this massive crime against his country. And instead of being rewarded as a patriot, he was arrested, put in pretrial detention, tortured for 358 days, and killed at the age of 37, 7 years ago. And I have devoted my life since then to getting justice for Sergei Magnitsky. And one of the most important things I was able to do was to get a law passed in Washington named after Sergei Magnitsky called the Magnitsky Act, which imposes visa sanctions and asset freezes on the people who killed him and the people in Russia who do similar types of terrible things. And so Sergei Magnitsky has, and I should point out that Vladimir Putin was so, so angry with this act because Vladimir Putin actually ended up getting some of that $230 million. And that's what leads us to this whole Trump Jr. meeting, which I can tell you more about.
Yeah, because this was blown off or continued to be blown off by Trump people and the Trump team and Trump supporters. It was just a meeting about adoption and that meant nothing. And it turned out to be nothing, a nothing meeting. That continues to be their story. Explain why this adoption piece is big, because it ties directly into what you just said.
Well, so first of all, I should point out that this meeting had nothing to do with adoption. The only thing that it had to do with adoption was that after the Magnitsky Act was passed, and which put sanctions, which freezes the assets of Russian killers, Vladimir Putin was looking for some way to retaliate. And so he was looking around at all the different retaliation options, freezing assets or whatever, and he realized that anything that he did to us, we would do back to him in terms of, like, you know, if he froze assets of Citibank, then we would freeze assets of Lukoil and other stuff like that. And so he finally found one thing which he could do, which we couldn't retaliate on, which was that for many years, American families have been adopting Russian orphans. And when I say Russian orphans, I should point out they were sick Russian orphans. And the Russians didn't let us adopt the healthy children, just the sick ones. And so really big-hearted American families go to Russia and take in kids with Down syndrome, with HIV, with spinal bifida, nurse them back to health, and they would have a productive life. And Vladimir Putin decided, in retaliation for sanctions against his corrupt officials, that he would ban Americans adopting these sick babies. And it was just the most heartless thing you could ever imagine, because there was about 500 families right in the middle of adoptions having met these their future children, the children who were hoping for families, and it all got messed up and they couldn't be adopted. And not only was it heartbreaking, but it was also potentially murderous, because a lot of these children couldn't get medical care in Russia, and a lot of them die in these orphanages. So Vladimir Putin was effectively sentencing his own orphans to death to protect his own corrupt torturers and killers. And so when they said they were discussing adoptions, what the Russians have cynically been doing is in trying to get the Magnitsky Act repealed, that they're saying, okay, you can do adoptions again of our sick orphans if you don't freeze our assets. And they've been on a campaign for ever since this law was passed. It was passed in 2012, so for 5 years, the Russians, under Putin, with high-level government intention, have been trying every different angle to try to get the Magnitsky Act repealed. They've been all over Washington, all over Capitol Hill, and when they saw that Donald Trump had been nominated as the Republican nominee, these people, these Russians, found a way to get to him to try to get him to do this deal if he became the president.
We'll break for traffic here, come back. I want to talk about Red Notice, your book. I want to get Andre in here as well. I want to talk about Red Notice here for a second before we jump back into the news topic of the day or days here. Red Notice is your book. Explain the premise here.
So Red Notice is my book. It's named after something called the Interpol Red Notice. An Interpol Red Notice is the international arrest warrant run by Interpol. And in my case, after I started fighting for justice for Sergei Magnitsky, my lawyer who was murdered by the Putin regime for uncovering corruption, after I started this campaign for justice, the Russians wanted to have me arrested, taken back to Russia, put in jail, and do the same thing to me. And so they issued an Interpol Red Notice, and that's the name of my book. And the book tells the whole story of how I went to Russia, how I was a businessman, a hedge fund manager there, how I did well, and then how I ended up coming into conflict with Vladimir Putin, and how he went after me, murdered my lawyer, and went after everything else. People say to me, it reads like fiction. You can't, if it wasn't true, I wouldn't believe it. It's just so unbelievable.
Out and available everywhere. Get two copies. See, if you lose one, you got a backup. And I'm not kidding. Red Notice is the book. And the money piece of this is astounding because, as in all things, money and power go together. Vladimir Putin losing his mind over his piece of the $200 million you talked about. But you say that he is the richest man in the world.
Yes, Vladimir Putin has been running the country for 17 years now. And he's not been running it like we have, like we expect in the West. He's running a criminal kleptocracy. He's stealing money and stealing lots and lots of money. $200 billion is my estimate of how much money Vladimir Putin has stolen from Russia in his capacity as either president or prime minister. He's stealing all this money, and he keeps that money not in Russia where it could be stolen from him. He keeps it in the West. He keeps it in banks in America and Switzerland and London and France. And as a result, the reason why he is so angry with this piece of legislation, the Magnitsky Act, which freezes assets of corrupt and dangerous Russian officials, is because he believes that his money will eventually be frozen, which it probably will be. And therefore, he's using all the resources of the state to try to have the Magnitsky Act repealed, which leads us back to Trump Tower, because these Russians were so, so eager to get the Magnitsky Act repealed, because that's what Putin wanted, that they found a way into the Trump campaign headquarters when Donald Trump was a Republican nominee, and they got to Donald Trump Jr., Paul Manafort, and Jared Kushner.
Two of the people in the room where it happened, literally. Good morning, Bill. Wanted to ask you, we keep talking about the participants in this meeting. It keeps going up and up. Still not quite sure why some of the people were actually in there, including the publicist of a Russian pop star. But what concerned me the most was Renat Akhmetshin and why it's so concerning that he was in this meeting and who he is.
So basically, there were two Russians who were effectively representing the Russian government. There was Natalia Veselnitskaya, who's a lawyer. Effectively a lawyer for a highly connected Russian oligarch government official. And then there was this guy, Renat Akhmetshin. Renat Akhmetshin was a former Russian military intelligence officer. Russian military intelligence has the acronym GRU. GRU was the entity which was sanctioned by Obama as he was leaving for their involvement in the election hacking. This man, Akhmetshin, came to America and became naturalized as an American citizen, with still running all these murky ties with his handlers back in Russia. You effectively have a Russian spook sitting in Trump Tower with the son of the next president of the United States, asking him for a quid pro quo, basically saying, here's what we want, here's what we're going to offer in return.
So who do we have in the White House? Look, Paul Manafort was in the meeting. Manafort has been dirty for years. He knew exactly who he was meeting with. But who are the Trumps in the inner circle of the Trump team? Are they spy geniuses or are they naive fools? And in the case of the president, somebody that owes a bunch of Russian banks and oligarchs hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, I don't know the answer to that question. This is the Robert Mueller will find out.
What's your theory? Because you certainly have more reason to have an educated guess than we do.
Well, what I know for sure and what I can speak to very definitively is what the Russians wanted, what they ended up getting and what the intentions were on the other side is a mystery to me and will only come out in time. But what I can tell you is that we know the Russians wanted to get rid of this Magnitsky Act because of Putin's money.
Right.
And we know it's the highest priority from the Russians because Putin has said so. They've made no mystery of that. And we also know that the Russians, when Russian spies, Russian intelligence officers go into situations where they want something, they've studied very carefully in advance what they have to offer to get something, what they have to offer in return to get what they want. And so it's not like these guys naively went and said, could you please withdraw this piece of human rights legislation? They would have studied for months and come up with an offer. And the offers all depend on the subjects that they're meeting with. Sometimes they offer, they look to say, what does this person want? Sometimes they offer an incentive. Sometimes they offer an extortion, which is to say they find out something about that person and then say, if you don't cooperate with us, we will put that information out there. I can't tell you what the Russians, what their quid pro quo was, because I don't believe a word that the Russians said about that meeting. And unfortunately, the story from the other side, from the U.S. side, from the Trump side, has been changing so many times, I don't believe what they're saying either. And so it's hard to know what was offered in return for what this what they really wanted, which was the withdrawal of this Magnitsky Act. But I can guarantee you the Russians wouldn't have gone in there empty-handed.
But yeah, obviously, from our side, because the Magnitsky Act part of this is crucial, and you've educated us amazingly on the Russian piece of this, but our concern here primarily is why would the president of the United States, as a candidate and then the president-elect and then the president, be reluctant or flat-out refuse to condemn the common sense that's right in front of us and just do the right thing and stand up for what's best for this country as he continues to avoid the topic. There's something that he desperately needs or wants or owes Russia. That's the only answer.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know what motivates him. But I should point out that his statements are absolutely nonsensical when it comes to Russia and deeply offensive to me when it comes to Putin. But at the same time, he's actually assembled the government that he's assembled, his defense secretary, his CIA director, his UN ambassador. These people are as hard Russian hawks as I've ever seen,
right.
People who would fit right into my mindset. And so there hasn't yet been a policy change towards Russia. I mean, I watch this thing absolutely every second like a hawk to see what's happening. And so far, they haven't done anything which is truly offensive. I completely agree that these tweets and statements make no sense whatsoever. But so far, knock on wood, we haven't given anything up to the Russians yet.
It's the old horror movie trailer. We trace the call. It's coming from inside the house. And so far, the people you mentioned, and I agree with you, these are real people who are real legitimate folks interested in the best for America, seem to be protecting us from the Trump family. Where this goes from here remains to be seen. Listen, stay safe sounds like a cliche with you, but I know it's how you live your life every day. I hope people get the book Red Notice. I salute you for defending your lawyer, your friend, and the Global Magnitsky Justice Campaign is on. You just Google Magnitsky or Bill Browder. You can get all the information you need there and go get Red Notice. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That's Bill Browder, who Putin wants to kill. 7:33. We'll come back with a big story in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Ladd wedged off the puck. Puck taken back by Campbell. Left point. Drops it to Kane on the left half boards. Here's Kane now. Juking his way to the right lower left corner. Should he score? Oh, no. That's turned wide by Layton. Loose puck in the crease. And now it's in the net. They score!
It's in!
The Hawks win the Stanley Cup! The Hawks win the Stanley Cup. Layton is down on his knees in the goal crease. And that one looked like it slid past him into the net. They're going to go and take a look. They're going to take a look upstairs.
Back of the net.
It's in the back of the net. The Hawks have won the Stanley Cup.
The magical disappearing puck of 2010. Brian Campbell, Sue Campbell got the assist. Hey, guess who's on the phone? Brian Campbell. Blackhawks convention this week. And, hey, Soup, you know, we never figured out what happened to that puck. It turns out Dave Ennett has it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I'm just hanging on to it. If you want it, you can have it.
Oh, okay. I can take that off your hands for sure.
We're looking forward to convention, but before we get to that, some news. Would this news be about you?
Yeah, I guess. It's fortunate, unfortunate, I guess. Yeah.
And, and that announcement is what?
I'm actually going to, it's tough for me to even say it actually, but, I'm going to retire from, the NHL. So, I'm excited and I'm actually taking an opportunity to work with, the Blackhawks, obviously the greatest organization in the NHL. So, I'm excited to move into a role there and my family's really excited, but, obviously a little bittersweet, but, kind of the first time you say it out loud, it kind of, it hurts, but I'm excited. It's going to be fun. We're getting geared up and ready to go for that.
Well, I'm very excited to hear that you're going to stay with the organization. But, yeah, it's got to be weird, right? This is something you've done since you were a little kid. You've played and succeeded at the highest level. So you come to the decision based on what? A number of factors? On family? On what?
There's a couple things. I think I know I could play physically. I think mentally I'm done with it a little bit. It's a grind. I've played 18 years now, pro hockey, and it's just kind of a grind. And I think mentally I'm a little tired and a little done with that. And then family, you know, I think I got two little girls and who you can maybe hear screaming in the background, but you know, and I think it's kind of going to be putting them in the forefront a little bit more. So that's kind of, you know, the things that I kind of looked at and my wife and I, Lauren, talked about. So, but we're excited. You know, I think to be able to stay with the Blackhawks is the number one thing I wanted to do.
And I know the Hawks had talked about, you know, the veteran team leadership role and all of that, but the Hawks are on the same page. If it's right for you, then it's right for them.
Yeah, so I'm going to go in and work a little bit on the business side, and I want to learn and grow with it you know, try to be, you know, work my way up in that organization. So, you know, there's a lot of good people there, so I'm excited for that opportunity.
Listen, you know, I've been friends a long time. The first year you came to town, or the first year I was back on GN, I should say, back doing the old afternoon show. So it wasn't, I was back. I was still here then. So, Brian, it's hard to remember. See, you retire, I get fired. But we got to be pals, and you were on the show regularly. And, you know, you're just quality people. And you gave so many thrills to Blackhawks fans in those early days as the team was building. And it was such a thrill to have you come back last year. And I thought you played great last year. So, again, I'm sorry you won't be on the ice, but I'm thrilled we're going to be able to see you at the United Center. Dave?
And Brian, how fitting is it that you were able to come back and end your career as a member of the Blackhawks, a team with which, as we heard when you came on the air with us, with which you won a Stanley Cup in 2010?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously I got to thank Rocky Words and John and Jay Blunk for this opportunity. So, it's, you know, they've been so good to me, and I think that's the biggest thing about it is that's the reason why I came back last year. That's the reason why I want to be a part of the organization is, you know, the leadership from the top has just been so good to me, and I feel like in return I've worked hard and been good to the organization. So, you know, that's the only thing I want to see is for it to continue to grow and fans to get more excited and for this team to win more Stanley Cups. So, it's just kind of been fitting, you know. I think for me, it just kind of worked out perfectly, you know. And obviously, we make our home here in Chicago. My wife's from here, my two daughters are all kind of set up here. So it's just a perfect situation. But I know there's going to be a lot of work ahead, and I'm excited for that.
And as your friend, if you just want to pop me in the mouth when we're watching a game together this fall, just because you're having a flashback to being on the ice, feel free to do that.
Yeah, I might look and see how many comp tickets you're getting right now and lower that number.
Nice. I'd rather have you hit me. Outside of, you know, your immediate family, your mom, your dad, your family back in Canada, who'd you call first? Once you came to this decision, who'd you tell first?
Well, obviously, I don't know. I just been kind of going back and forth a little bit. I talked to my agent a lot, and he's from Chicago. You know, I've just kind of slowly kind of told people what I was thinking. I've been thinking of this for a long time, you know, and then some days you go back and forth when there's free agency going on. So it was just kind of a back and forth. One of the first ones I probably told was John McDonough, to be honest with you.
Oh, is that right?
I went and talked to him a little bit and stuff, so... just kind of, you know, slowly, you know, I have some neighbor friends here and, you know, it's just kind of a slow developing thing, you know. At a lot of points I said, okay, I'm done. And then, you know, it's either my wife or something. She's like, just give it some more time. Or my dad was like, give it some more time. But I never came around to that where I really had the drive to do it. So, you know, it's just kind of an evolving thing of when, you know,
So first there's no sandwich, and now there's no soup? Did that...
No, there's still soup.
There's still soup.
You know, he's soup. He's right. Soup. Yeah, so soup and sod.
There you go.
The soup might be a little cold, but it's still around.
How about Soup and Andrea, since you really love that show?
I love that show. That's what I was going to ask him, you know, because you have so many accolades on the ice, but your fans, your acting fans off the ice were really looking forward to another edition of it. Might you reprise the role? Wait, I am hopeful, Brian.
We're going to have to bring that to a front office meeting now, I guess. Yeah. So,
Yeah, because you're an executive now. You can't just be jerking around. You got to make the decisions that are right for the organization.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I wouldn't call it a career yet on that. But you never know. It could happen.
I like Soup and Sod. Soup and Sod's good.
I like it, too.
Into.
I think that's it's good. Great. Yeah.
And I think we can tell from knowing Brandon a little bit, his wide range of emotions would really come in well here.
I think so, yeah. It's a fun show.
Hey, wait, Soup, what are we doing? listen, congratulations, and I mean that word, and give yourself time to get used to the word. Maybe call it the R word for now.
Yeah. No, I do appreciate everything you've done for me too, Steve. So it's been great. I know we've been friends right from the get-go. So it's been always fun, and you know, I'll be around. So that's the best part about it. It's not like I'm going anywhere. So it'll be good to be around and see you a bunch.
Your oldest is 4 now or 5?
4. She's 4 and 4 and 2. So 2.
So at 4, you sit down with her, because a 2-year-old is more interested in other things, but the 4-year-old, you sit down with her and you try to explain that daddy's going to be around more. Did she lock into that at all?
She started crying. No, I'm just joking. No. Yeah, I think, you know, it'll take some time, but the best part about it is, you know what, we can go down to the United Center and watch a hockey game. And
how about that? Watching a hockey game together with your kids.
Yeah, so I've never done that ever. So it'll be very interesting, and you know, I think it was good for them to come back, and now they're Blackhawk fans, and that's what you want them to be. You know, they're fans for life. So it's kind of started, but at least I'll be able to take her to learn to skate a little bit more now, and do all those fun things with them.
Well, as you know, we're wearing headphones, so we're tethered, but we're going to now give you the great honor that you so richly deserve for all the entertainment, the hard work, and taking one for the team so many times, including at the hands of that commie Ovechkin when he almost killed Brian and yeah. Smashed him into the boards one afternoon. Here's your sitting ovation.
Woo!
Thank you,
buddy. Listen, I'll see you at convention, and thanks for telling us and calling in. Now go have fun.
All right, I will. Thanks, Steve. Sure, I buddy. Appreciate it.
There's your Hawks news. Brian Campbell retiring.
Should I give him the puck back?
You probably should, yeah. For the fee.
Of course.
Yeah. Soup and Sod really is the one that works.
I tell you, that is a very funny show.
Soup and Sod.
It's kind of like when you find out that your favorite show gets canceled. You know, yeah. It's like that feeling, yeah. And you're hoping.
Just torn away.
Just write letters to the front office. Bring it back.
Tell you what, I know there's a lot of kids in the back for the Hawks now, defensive line, but I don't know that the kids could outskate Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
He is still lightning fast. Reminds me a lot of me.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
I need a microphone. Dean Richards brought to you by Ravinia. How many concerts have you been at Ravinia this year?
I was supposed to go to Sheryl Crow, but
no,
I had to work.
How many have you been to?
Not one yet this year.
Come on.
But I'm going Saturday to see Blondie.
I was going to say, normally you're 3 or 4.
I know. Work's been crazy.
Dean has performed at Ravinia, and he joins us now for his morning performance.
A lot of people don't know that I'm with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra in my spare time.
He cleans the spit valves on the trumpets.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it.
We have much entertainment news, but first we have a scandal. So I walk in this morning. I was off a couple days last week,
yes.
Playing in a hotshot golf tournament. And I come in this morning, and Dave and Andrea are apoplectic.
Mm. Mm.
They're out of their minds with anger.
Dave had sympathy pains with me.
Unbelievable, because apparently there is a huge controversy at Channel 9. Dean, it must be all anybody's talking about at Channel 9 this morning.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't think Dean's affected, though.
I'm not aware of the controversy.
Well, it involves Mike Toomey.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And makeup.
Yes.
Mike Toomey and makeup.
Mm-hmm. Mike Toomey and makeup. Mm-hmm. I know, I had the same response. I've known Mike as long as you have. So is Toomey available? Can you flag him down?
I do not see him right now.
Okay, where would he be at this hour? Because we know he's not on.
He may be recording the opening of the 9 o'clock hour.
So you mean he's probably in the lobby talking to chicks?
He may be. Well, maybe.
He's hiding from shame because of what he did.
I think he's probably in an audio booth right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's back this up and explain.
Good
because
morning. Coming up on the show today.
Let's back this up and explain because people think, well, I'll give you a perfect example. Like if you're watching CLTV in the 9 o'clock hour any day, and you see me, this doesn't just happen.
Right.
This takes work.
It takes a village.
It takes a village.
Yes.
It takes a village.
So apparently what happens is the morning news team, and I say that in a Will Ferrell kind of way, the morning news team has their own makeup artist.
Right.
And that makeup artist's name is?
Ingrid.
And Ingrid's beautiful and does a terrific job.
Yes.
Yes. But after 9 o'clock, or 10 o'clock, I should say, the big moneymaker being a morning show, they're out.
Yeah.
They're out. You're in a makeup desert.
Way before that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. She leaves around 6. All the faces that need to be painted need to be painted by 6.
So even Sapelsa, the beautiful Mark Sapelsa, doesn't have makeup done?
That's right.
So
he's a lot prettier than all the rest of us on the morning show.
Right. So consequently, all of the talent, the stars at Channel 9, have makeup drawers where they have their own stuff in
them. That's correct.
And Andrea, pick the story up here. What happened then?
Well, Ingrid, we all do a makeup consult, the men and the women with Ingrid.
Because again, this doesn't just happen.
Right. And she kind of puts color, you know, says lighten up on the eyeshadow, lighten up on the blush. In Dave's case, lighten up on the foundation.
My life has changed since she asked me to start wearing false eyelashes.
See? So she has little drawers for all of us, and you say, oh, Ingrid, I'm out of the blush or the make, whatever it might be, and she replenishes it.
She ignores you, right? No.
And then you ask 3 more times, and you eventually get it.
And she'll say,
then you go to Walgreens and buy your
exactly,
own.
Exactly, yeah. So she'll say, try this shade or try this eyeliner. Okay, so I went in on Saturday, so I'm there every weekend. Went in to go to my makeup drawer and replenish and get some new powder.
And your makeup drawer was gone.
The makeup drawer has not. It's there, but it's been replaced. Oh. So my name was torn off of it. Mine is one up and two over from Dave Ennett's, by the way.
Okay, which so is, your name was torn off and replaced by?
Mike Toomey.
Mike makeup. The M in Mike is for makeup.
Yeah, and I opened up my drawer. All my makeup is gone. He has actually had 3 times the amount of makeup that I had in
Toomey?
There. It's gone. I don't know where it is. There's a big plastic bag filled with Toomey's makeup, and he took a little piece of scotch tape and wrote with a Sharpie on it, Mike Toomey.
It's outrageous.
Steve, we now go live to Mike Toomey, who has just joined us.
Oh,
Mike Toomey, we're in the middle of Makeup Gate, and we're told that you stole Andrea Darlis's makeup drawer.
Well, if you see me on the air, there's one thing you can tell is that makeup never comes anywhere near me. I have a drawer there, but I don't even know what's in it.
Mm-hmm. So apparently, one of Mike's people, one of Mike's minions, remember the M in Mike stands for minions, one of Mike's minions actually set him up with a makeup drawer that he doesn't use.
Yeah, clearly I'm being set up.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it's a set up crime. Well, do we know where your makeup ended up, Andrea?
No.
Do you think Toomey's selling it on the black market?
Yes, it's MIA.
Hmm. So what do you know of this, Mike?
It's not me. It's Boris Karloff who did it. Because Frankenstein is all makeup and grunting.
So you're here to tell me the only time you wear makeup is when you're in a costume of sorts.
That's exactly right. And it's nothing like the makeup you probably saw in that drawer. It's, you know, clown makeup.
There was a lot of makeup in that drawer, too.
Yeah, that's, I don't know who put my name on that.
All right, so it's not your fault, and you don't care what happens to Andrea's stuff.
Thanks.
Look for Karloff.
Thanks, Mike.
I think it's Karloff.
All right. So you're telling Andrea, walk it off.
Thought we were friends. We performed together before.
Yeah, I'm in the dark here as much as you are.
Okay. All right. So again, what we've determined here is it's not Mike's fault.
All right. We're going to get Lourdes on it. WGN Investigates.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
The Sapelsa Investigative Team.
Totally.
That seems like a good use of resources.
Right.
Dave, your thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, you used the term apoplectic.
You were really, out of your mind with
it. It really didn't, but I am
It took
willing.
You all this time to look up apoplectic?
Yes. But it really, it's okay with me if Andrea would like to share my makeup.
Oh, no, that's not how it works. No, because here's what happens. Mm-hmm. And Dean will back this up because Dean's a thief himself. But you allow this thievery to start. Mm-hmm. And you go, well, it's okay, we'll adjust. And the next thing you know, they're stealing cars, they're robbing banks.
It's collusion.
It is. It's collusion.
It's collusion.
Hey, was Toomey in the meeting with Donald Trump Jr.?
Do we know if Donald Trump Jr.'s ever been in our makeup room?
That's a very good point
good
as well.
Good point, Dean.
Let's go back over the security footage and see if there was a Russian lawyer.
We do have security footage to find out. If we really want to find out, we could find out who did this.
Let's do it.
Because someone stole the little plastic basket out of my makeup drawer.
Oh.
That got stolen about a couple of weeks ago.
Dave, do you realize as a grown man, you said someone stole my little plastic basket?
Yeah, I do.
Out of my makeup drawer.
It's the best.
Yeah, I guess
that's the best thing to come out of all this.
I didn't think that through.
I don't even care anymore just to hear Ennett say that.
Let me just ask this. Aren't there locks on the individual makeup drawers?
There are not.
No.
I thought there were.
Any thug, ne'er-do-well, or drifter can get in there and take makeup.
Is there a new person over there or something?
No.
Somebody that just, you know, started?
Could be Paul Rennie.
Steve,
could be the general manager.
No, we like
possible.
Paul.
It's possible. Steve, this is why I go to Earl Scheib every morning and get my makeup done.
Actually, you know what's changed?
I don't even do it
here
anymore.
Here's the only thing that's changed. Lourdes left the early morning news and dropped us like a bad habit.
Yeah,
doesn't even talk to us anymore.
Yep.
And Lauren Jiggetts, the lovely and talented Lauren Jiggetts came over. Maybe it's Jiggetts. She tore it all up.
Oh, maybe she did. Yeah. She seems super nice, though. I don't know.
Ben Bradley's fairly new also.
Well, he's a weasel. We would expect Bradley.
Right.
But we wouldn't expect Lauren Jiggetts, which, by the way, is the perfect cover for the perfect crime.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
That whole sweetness thing.
Like I said, just to get...
Remember how when we found out DeVlantis, you know, when she started here, was stealing money out of people's wallets and purses? Remember that?
Well, then she became a traitor. We drop everybody, don't we?
The idea that Anna DeVlantis is stealing money is very funny.
Didn't she steal some NFL stuff from you?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, she did. I bet it's DeVlantis.
The jerseys.
Oh,
great
yeah.
memory.
And she was so sweet about it.
I bet it's DeVlantis. I bet she took my makeup and Dave's little... pink
I don't
basket.
Want to rip a scab off. I've also had some ketchup packets in my drawer of my desk that have been missing.
What if Anna DeVlantis and Lauren Jiggetts are running the largest black market makeup thievery ring in America?
Both former Channel 5 people.
That's where it starts.
Dean, if she tries to sell you a little pink makeup basket from Anna's drawer, you'll know.
Okay.
And I think about all the money Larry Wirt stolen from me on the golf course. Sure, he beat me fair and square, but it's like stealing.
I can't wait till tomorrow when I'm coming in and, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Because Larry Wirt ran Channel 5.
It's dark outside and someone goes, you want to buy a pink makeup basket?
First of all, I never said it was pink. You guys are saying that.
Dave Ennett, sports director, legendary Chicago sports legend in Chicago, period.
Big time.
Somebody stole my little basket out of my makeup drawer.
I thought it was pink.
It's a pink Hello Kitty basket.
Northwestern on line one, they're taking your name down off your broadcast booth.
I'm sure.
Go Cats.
Martin Landau news coming up. George Romero news coming up. HBO news coming up. Caitlyn Jenner and Disney, if we have time, we'll get to that as well. We'll come back, and if anything breaks during makeup...
Any updates, we'll break right in.
By the way, Toomey, one of the funniest guys I know, couldn't have sounded more guilty on that phone call.
Oh, I know, completely. It wasn't me.
He was blindsided, though.
He blamed a dead actor, yeah.
He was busy. He was busy recording something, and I wrote a little note to one of the interns and said, go get Toomey and tell him to get his butt over here.
Listen, you're the only one over there that understands when TV people say they're busy. It's the biggest load of crap ever. This is busy. This is 4 hours of busy. You know, TV is busy for 2 minutes and then an hour off. That's what TV is.
2 minutes? What are you doing, a documentary?
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
All right, back to Dean now. Martin Landau died this week.
Yeah, very sad. He's 89 years old. Had been hospitalized for undisclosed reasons, but his representatives say that he suffered complications during the short hospitalization. So he sadly passed away, probably best known for the original TV version of Mission Impossible. He starred in North by Northwest. And
what did he win the Oscar for?
He won the Oscar for Ed Wood.
That was it.
Ed Wood with Johnny Depp, in which he played the great Bela Lugosi. And if you've never seen this, he is so great in this movie.
Yep.
really did a good job in 2009. I've interviewed him several times. The last time was in 2009. He was here in Chicago being honored by the Chicago Film Festival, and he talked about his amazing career and some of the great, great, great people that he's worked with.
With Hitchcock, with Cary Grant and James Mason, yeah, and Eva Marie, it was dreamlike and wonderful. I mean, I was from the theater. I came from a whole different background. Hitchcock and I actually got along very well. Woody doesn't direct anybody, and if he doesn't like what you're doing, he fires you. He'll say things like, start in the kitchen and you can go out of the room. Don't stay too long. Go to the window. You can sit down, but end up in the kitchen. You'll find your way. And he'll walk away. And then you'll rehearse it a couple of times, hopefully with a good actor, and shoot it. And he wants to go home by 5 o'clock so he can watch the Knicks game.
So,
how great is it that Martin Landau did a Woody Allen impression?
He was great. He was great in this interview. I'm going to post the whole thing up on the web. He talks about creating this Bela Lugosi character that is like a master class in acting. Just hearing the process that he went through to create this character. Talking about movies. This was in 2009, but movies today. And his how he doesn't especially like them anymore. It was a really interesting interview. He was a really interesting, very funny, very personable guy. So we're very sad about that. And also, we're sad about the death of sort of the king of horror movies. The great George Romero died over the weekend.
Yeah, and I would direct people to Nick DiGilio's Facebook page because I think Nick spent most of the show talking about George Romero. And
right.
He's got a bunch of stuff up there.
Yeah, Nick, I'd never talked to George Romero, but Nick had. And I'm sure he's got his interviews posted there. But he wrote and directed Night of the Living Dead and sort of, you know, creating the blueprint that everyone else followed when they made zombie movies. He made several sequels. He remade Night of the Living Dead. He died of lung cancer, 77 years old.
HBO.com is the website, obviously, for HBO. And Game of Thrones season premiere last night did what?
Crashed. You don't want that
killed
to happen.
Killed the website.
You don't want that to happen when you've got one of your biggest shows, maybe the biggest show on HBO, Game of Thrones, with its season premiere last night. But the website crashed for people who were trying to watch it there. HBO Now, their video streaming service, was not loading. It was just completely overwhelmed by everybody trying to watch it. And you know what I say? This is God's way of saying, watch TV the way the good Lord intended television
right,
to be
on
watched.
A box.
On an actual box. Stop it with your little phones. Stop it with your little computers. That's not how God wants you to watch television.
Right. And who are you to question God and TV?
That's right. So generally, no spoilers at all, but generally fans were pretty pleased with the episode last night. 13 more to go over the next two seasons, because why not drag it out over two seasons?
And what's the Disney Expo?
Disney Expo is it's sort of a Comic-Con of just Disney stuff. They released first looks at things like the new Avengers movie. We've got that posted up online. They posted about 7 minutes behind-the-scenes footage of the new Star Wars movie, which is really cool, if you're anticipating that. Some footage of Carrie Fisher's final scenes in Star Wars. We've got that posted up as well. They released the first look at Emily Blunt as the new Mary Poppins in this new Mary Poppins Returns movie that'll be out next year. What else? Oh, they announced that Will Smith is going to be part of the cast of the live-action version of Aladdin.
Yep.
That they're going to do, which I think is some brilliant casting there. I think he'll be great in that.
And over the weekend, two celebrities said they will run for Senate, or at least are considering it. Kid Rock in Michigan and Caitlyn Jenner in California.
Why not?
It appears anybody can get elected.
I think Donald Trump, if he's done nothing else, has inspired people to say,
he broke the seal.
I can do this. And when Steve says he broke the seal, he means the kind that swim in the ocean.
That's right. You remember when Ronald Reagan was elected and they went, oh, God, they elected an actor.
He's an actor, yeah. Can't have that. Can't have an actor in
imagine
office.
Those gentle days gone by. And then Jesse Ventura, oh, they elected a wrestler in Minnesota. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, oh, they elected an actor, that one in California or California. Let me tell you something. I'd take Jesse, Arnold, and, of course, Reagan, put him in a salad shooter, and put that in the White House. Come on.
in a salad shooter?
Yeah, just because you mix them up. You know, the Richard Simmons salad shooter.
Okay.
I couldn't think of the word blender when I needed it.
Okay.
Because it's complex. Like a, the word blender
maybe
really
like
comes
a salad
to
bowl.
You don't remember the Richard Simmons salad shooter?
I don't. I remember a salad shooter. Was it Richard Simmons?
It was Richard Simmons. Richard Simmons, a line of products. It was a salad shooter, and you put the ingredients in this gun-looking thing, and you shoot it out, and it's mixed up.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It's like a tossed salad.
No. Yeah.
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 But now, I found it the other day, and I thought, I don't even use this. Kind of like the George Foreman grill. It's like you have it, but you never use it.
I have a pocket fisherman. It's nothing to do with salad shooter, but
yeah, don't eat that.
Just I'm saying on the Popeil buy stuff as seen on TV
right
line.
Right, right, right.
I have one of those.
Wonder if he had a makeup drawer.
I bet he did.
I'll bet
he
did
too.
I'll bet
it all starts.
All
right, so
far no update on that, Steve. We have our security team working on this right now.
Yeah, let us know, will you? I mean, we're concerned.
I texted Lourdes and she hasn't texted back yet.
That's a shock. Our friend Paul Coit will join us here in a little bit. Dean, we'll tell him you said hello.
Tell him cheerio for me.
So we'll tell him you said hello. Cheerio. Big story next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Seems a little disrespectful, doesn't it? When we play this whenever Paul Coit's on. You remember what this music was for?
Benny Hill, right?
When Benny Hill was chasing around a girl with big boobs.
That's right. Which is pretty much half the show, right?
Right. Fair amount, anyway. My friend Paul Coit is standing by. He is live in London. And we have determined this morning that two other people were in the Donald Trump Jr. meeting. Kathy Hart, formerly of the Eric and Kathy show, and Paul Coit were both in that meeting as well.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. You know what always amazed me is why on earth Benny Hill was so popular in your country. You know, during the sort of 70s, we didn't have that many big showbiz exports, but for some reason, you took Benny Hill to your hearts, and I still have no idea why that was.
Was Benny Hill a big deal there?
Yeah, he was, but it was like, you know, one-trick pony. It was like, oh, it's Benny Hill on again, it's the same old act. But you'd think it would never translate anywhere, but for some reason... You know, Benny, you loved Benny, though, didn't you, over there?
Yeah, well, I can't say I did. I was a child then. But Benny Hill, yeah, chasing around the women with the big boobs, that seemed to be a favorite amongst several people, including a guy who was a coach of mine that kind of disturbs me now that I think about it.
My dad loved Benny Hill. He would sit there every night and say, we have to watch Benny Hill. So I would watch it, and my mom's like, I don't know about that, because it's a little inappropriate for me. But I laughed.
Very strange.
I thought it was hilarious.
But thank you for the Simon Cowell export. That's worked out well for us.
Yeah, there you go. So it's Benny Hill, Simon Cowell. That's what we have for you. That's what our country's doing for you right now.
All right, over the weekend, Wimbledon wrapped up. Did you make any of the matches?
No, I didn't make any of the matches this year. I've been a few times. I think the last time I went was when I was working for a radio station, and I tried to blag my way in to the press office and try and get into as many games free as I could. This is about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And it's a true story. And I went into the press office, and I was trying to, I thought, well, I'll see if I can get an interview with someone. So they said, well, who is it you want an interview with? And I can't remember who was big at the time. I mean, it could have been Agassi. And I've gone, oh, how about Agassi? And I went, really? Who do you want? So I tried to come up with something. So the actual list said Daily Mail, and it had big names, and then it had NBC big names, and it had my name, and it had the words anybody famous right next to it. So I was never asked back to Wimbledon, which is a trip.
That's unbelievable if they revoked your press credentials.
I know. That was my press credentials, I thought, were perfect. But for that moment, anybody famous, they weren't too happy with it.
Now tell me about the strawberries and cream thing.
Yeah.
Is this a regular Sunday brunch deal that is popular there, or is this just a Wimbledon thing?
Well, firstly, I've got to ask you, is that a strange thing to you, strawberries and cream?
It would be more of a strawberry shortcake here, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to have the cake with it. Well, no, it's just a thing that's a tradition at Wimbledon. It's a summer thing, but it's just always run. When you go to Wimbledon, you get a punnet of strawberries. So you get a few strawberries, If it's a little sour for you, you can have a little sprinkle of sugar over the top, but then you have cream on the top of that, and then you just walk around with your little punnet of strawberries and cream, and they charge a fortune for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much is it?
I think it's probably, honestly, it's probably like about 10, 15 pounds. You're probably looking at about $15 or something like that. That is why the prize money is so big, because it's actually pretty much financed by people spending over the odds on a couple of strawberries with a drop of cream on the top.
Now, we couldn't help but notice the princess was there yesterday.
Yes, I was. I was with the new hairstyle.
No, that was Kate. Oh. Not you.
Princess Kate.
You're a different princess.
Yes. The princes.
Yes.
Or the princess.
Kate was there with, but who was Kate with? Was William there?
Yes, he was. Yeah, William was there. They stayed on, they not only watched Federer, because that was all over quite quickly, but they also stayed for the mixed doubles as well.
How did they get tickets?
And you know what? It's funny to say that, because there's always a load of celebrities that sit in there, and Eddie Redmayne was one of them. I mean, I know he went to Eton and a very posh school, but does it work with celebrities that Wimbledon will phone them and say, look, you know, you're a famous actor, how about some free tickets, because it makes us look good if we pick you up on TV? Or do they just have so much money that they can buy dodgy tickets outside?
I don't know, but
they always seem to get in there.
Yeah, I think it depends. Like, from when Fox has the World Series here, they take celebrities from the new shows they want to plug, and they put them in good seats so they can get them on camera. NBC, but NBC, I don't think, has a stake in that. Or does NBC still have? I guess ESPN had Wimbledon this year. I don't know. My guess is Eddie Redmayne bought his own tickets, but the seats could have gone to somebody else. Let me switch to my favorite topic, Donald Trump. Donald Trump was supposed to come visit the UK, and over the weekend, supposedly told Theresa May, your prime minister, he's not going to do that for at least a year. And then it leaked out from your side that the reason he gave Theresa May was because he knew he'd get a bad reception now, and he wants to wait until people are thrilled to see him. How long will That's it take before Brits are thrilled to see Donald Trump?
Well, I don't know. What is that hell freezes over phrase? I can't remember exactly how that works. But the thing is, I heard that he'd said to her, can you fix it? You know, it's like, we're North Korea. So it's like, if there's any chance, I'll come over, but you've got to fix those people that either boo me or those bad people that write stuff about me.
Right.
And if you fix them, then I'll come over. So obviously we're really, really working hard on fixing them right now.
Is there any value to having Trump come to your country?
I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
It'd be quite fun. It would be quite fun, I suppose. But the thing is, it would be a state visit. So the difference in a state visit is where he would be hosted by the Queen. He would then be advised, the Queen would be advised by the Prime Minister to have have him over and as a head of state to come over to this country. There's only been about 91 ever. There's only about two every year, so for various state visits. But that would mean the whole thing, the horses, the carriage, staying at Buckingham Palace, the whole British thing. You know, you get the whole nine yards there. But you know, I don't think it's going to happen. I just wonder whether it was going to happen, because it nearly happened last year, but then there was a bit of an outrage saying, well, does he deserve a state visit? We're not really sure.
What about Melania? What if we just sent Melania?
Yeah. No, there's a state visit and inner state visit. So that's a slight difference between the two.
We do believe she's a hostage of some sort.
She always looks so happy when she's with him, though, doesn't she? We've noticed that. Is it a grimace, or actually is it a smile?
I think it's more of a grimace. I think it's sort of, to me, her face looks more like she's, you know, in the throes of stomach flu.
Right. She's blinking more these days, too.
Like, help me?
Rapidly, yes.
But that's when her leg moves at exactly the same time. That's why I find strange.
It's my friend Paul Coit live in London. The Tottenham Hotspur season starts when?
Very soon. August. And they will be heading over into your country. They're not coming to Chicago this year, which I'm really disappointed about. They're playing in different cities in the States. but not playing in Chicago this year. And is there anything to do with you? I don't know why.
No, because they know I'm a fan. There's a Tottenham Hotspur bar here in town. I mean, come on.
I know, that's right. Yeah, Chicago Spurs. So I don't know why that is. But yeah, the season starts. We're about 3 weeks away. So we're missing it.
Congratulations, my friend. All the best to you and your family. That's the great Paul Coit live from London. We got to get traffic and then more on 720 WGN. So again, Mary Vanderbilt, Donald Trump is going to be going to the UK when hell freezes over. But it sounds better when Paul says it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Woo! 912, Steve Cochran Show continues. Show number 946. You know, throughout the morning, things occur to me that I need to get done. And just so you know, I have a system of organization where I take the rundown sheet, which is a one-page piece of paper which tells us what's on the show on a particular day, and I write down all the things I need to get done in the border around the breakdown of the show, and then I put it away and I never look at it again.
It's your little post-it system.
It's not the greatest system, I have to be honest with you.
It's okay. We all kind of do that. Don't feel bad.
You have the post-it note system. That's where you write stuff on a post-it note and don't do it.
Well, I write stuff kind of like you do, and then I tear it off, so I find all these little pieces of paper in my bag. Uh-huh. But it's funny because I'll find them like 2 weeks later, and it'll be the same things that I haven't done, like go to Ulta, which I did, finally.
I actually like Steve's system of writing stuff down that you never do anything with,
uh-huh.
because I'm usually the person that has to execute anything that you remember to tell me off of those sheets.
Yeah,
so.
Do you give her your notes?
I probably write 20 things down that I need to get done in a given day. I accomplish, and I'm going to round up. I accomplish two, but one of those two ends up on Sandberg's desk.
And sometimes, like yesterday morning, I sent a message letting him know I had plans in the evening. And so, you know, we have these, I said, we have a couple of things open for the day. You know, do you want to leave them open, do anything? And he said, let's leave them open. Happy Sunday.
Right, okay.
And then a couple hours later, hey, get this one.
She got about she got about 14 hey tweets after that.
Hey, doesn't have to be done right now, but get this, and I'm like, because as we learned with the procrastinating lady, I'm task oriented.
Yes,
I can't table a task. Once that task gets on my list, I have to act on it right away, because otherwise I get anxiety.
Can you imagine what I get done if I was like that?
We had a, you know, we have to have her back. She was great.
We do, yeah.
This procrastination lecturer that Mary booked with you in mind, but you were off.
When was this?
But it was Thursday. But we learned that
Dr. Mary Lemia,
she was awesome, wasn't she? Book is great.
Well, what have you done since Thursday to fix your procrastination?
No, but we were talking about you because it was a good guess for you. But no, we did learn that Mary.
Did you put off booking the person with me? Is that your own form of procrastination?
No, you took the day off.
Remember? Before I knew you were playing golf.
But we learned that, like, if you can procrastinate if you're task driven.
Oh yeah.
So you and I are considered task driven because we write all this stuff down.
You guys are motivated by deadlines. You will get things done.
Right.
You just get them done up until the deadline.
To be done.
Right. Exactly. Whereas Mary Sandberg,
where I can't go to bed if the towels aren't folded in the dryer, even though that does not have to be done there because I'm motivated by
it. Well, look at you admitting that it didn't have to be done.
Oh, I know.
It's growth for you.
I know.
A little bit.
All right, I got three things to tell you about. A photo currently shared by more than 130,000 people featuring a soldier standing in a pouring rainstorm saluting a funeral procession went viral. That soldier's now been identified. The photo features Colonel Jack L. Usrey, USREY, Senior Army Advisor to the Adjutant General of Tennessee's National Guard. The photo was taken on July 6th near Fort Knox, Kentucky. Aaron Hester of the town of Vine Grove took the photo, shared it on Facebook, and went viral after that. When the colonel was asked about it, he said, "It's family. It's a horrible time. The rain makes it worse. It's the least I could do as a show of respect." He parked his car on the side of the road, got out, and saluted the funeral procession.
Wow. Hmm. It's a very powerful photo.
It is a very moving photo. It's exactly right. Again, this is three things I don't have time to put anywhere else during the show. It's possible that millions of Americans will be able to see the Aurora Borealis tonight if you didn't see it last night.
I didn't see it last night.
The Federal Space Weather Prediction Center said that the Northern Lights should be visible last night and tonight. New England, upstate New York, Michigan, northern Illinois. Well, that's where we are. Yeah. We're in northern Illinois. Wisconsin, Minnesota, North and South Dakota, and Montana.
Was it visible last night here?
Yes, and allegedly tonight as well. The best chance for seeing the lights are from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, we'll be in bed, I was going to say.
Perfect for us.
Did anybody else think of flock of seagulls? Come on.
What do you mean?
Aurora Borealis comes in. Well, I'm not going to sing it.
I actually forgot it was in that song.
That's what I thought of immediately when you said that.
Wow, very impressive. And I wanted to do this story, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to because I add a spot. No, here it is. This is from the Charlotte Observer. Listen, I hate talking about this, but this is big news, and I've got to talk about it. There was a story that was reported over the weekend, and it's important to point out the fake news when it's actually fake news, of a flight that had to be diverted to Raleigh, North Carolina, because a guy on the plane had gas that he couldn't control, and everybody on the plane got ill.
Oh, awful.
Media outlets from the United Kingdom to India were reporting that an American Airlines flight had to be evacuated in Raleigh after other passengers became sick from smelling an ailing man's gas. American Airlines responded as follows. The plane was not evacuated. Medical call for someone affected by an odor from the plane deplaned normally. An American Airlines official added, we did not take an aircraft out of service for a mechanical issue or an odor in the cabin, dot, dot, dot. No past gas issue.
So it was fake. It didn't happen?
It did not. Well, somebody apparently may have tooted.
Okay.
But it wasn't enough to cause the plane to be diverted. The plane stayed on its regular route.
At least something was regular on the flight.
Yes. And apparently not that passenger. Those are three things that we didn't have time to get to anywhere else in the program. Now, the Aurora Borealis thing, the Northern Lights, reminds me that we're only about a month away from a total solar eclipse, which supposedly the absolute best place to see this will be southern Illinois.
Like Carbondale, right?
Yeah. Yeah. SIU, right around there. And that you can't get a hotel for, you know, tens, if not hundreds of miles, that there are going to be people swarming southern Illinois so they can see the total eclipse of the sun.
August 21st. Next
is that what it
Monday,
is?
Yeah, is yeah. when it's going to be.
Well, it's too bad you don't know someone with, like, a double wide in East St. Louis.
Oh. Yeah, we could go do the show from there.
There you go, Hometown yeah. Voices.
From my deck?
Yeah. Sure, why not?
Small.
Can we all fit on your deck?
Not small. It's more of an entryway to the double wide.
Do you have bunk beds?
Yeah, it's the only thing you could fit in there.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you're all welcome. Sure. It's close by.
Let's road trip it.
SIU to St. Louis is what, 45 minutes?
Oh, it's about from Carbondale?
Yeah.
It's about 2.5 hours.
No.
From Carbondale?
To St. Louis?
Yeah.
Can't be.
I made the trip almost every Saturday.
Let's Google map it.
Did you drive slow?
No. I remember it being about 2 hours. Maybe I'm not remembering it because it was a long time ago.
Steve just speeds.
I do drive fast. How far?
Google Maps says hour 45.
All right, keeps going down. I did it in 45 minutes, Steve, just a second ago.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Just a second ago.
Were you going 90?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But you're a space nut. Are you going down for that?
Thinking about it, yeah. Everything's kind of booked up, though, already. One of the things I wanted to do was, you know, they have in Alto Pass, they have Bald Knob Cross, which is this giant cross that's on top of the
yeah.
mountain.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they're charging people $200 a piece to go down, and they've already booked the whole thing. Hundreds of people.
So it's $200 just to sit on the mountain there?
Yeah, and if you bring a telescope, it's another $100.
Well,
the hotel rooms are booked. They're really taking advantage of this. It's going to be a big deal for Southern Illinois.
Yeah, and the actual eclipse will span what, an hour, 2 hours?
I think like 5 minutes.
Oh, is that all it is?
I think so. It's very quick. It's complete darkness for like 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay.
And then your times are so funny. Oh, it'll be 2 hours. So you drive 45 minutes to see a 2-hour event. Oh, wait.
Yeah, my eclipse is 2 hours long. Yeah. It only takes me 45 minutes to get there. That's
right. But the cool thing is some of the communities like Carbondale and some of the other bigger communities, they're actually doing celebrations and festivals around the eclipse. So you could actually go for the weekend and hit one of these solar eclipse festivals and stay and then see the thing on Monday.
Like a party.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, there are people who believe that these eclipses are signs of the end of the earth, the end of days.
There was a story in Bloomberg. I actually just Googled.
Are you one of those people?
No, I don't think so. But They say that the eclipse could wipe out 9,000 megawatts of power supplies because so many things are solar generated now.
It's a problem for me because I wear a solar panel hat.
Well, yeah.
And that's where I get my energy.
There's another cool thing, too, is if you go to the dividing line from where you can see the eclipse to where it's dark, where it's light, you would actually, if you were high enough, be able to see to the point where it was still light. So it would be like a huge cloud was over you. You'd be in darkness, but then you'd look down, you know, a mile, 2 miles, and you'd be able to see light.
I'd like to see it. That'd be very cool. But SIU is a long ways away.
You can watch it online. You can watch
it. I just wonder if they could move it.
Move the solar eclipse?
Yeah.
A little closer to Chicago?
A little more convenient for me. It just seems like so long to get there.
Listen, I have family down there. It is a long drive.
It's like 6 hours.
It is. It's a long drive.
Yeah. I got that one right. See? Six hours.
There you go. Right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, there you go. It's 9:22. More coming up on 720 WGN. Sort of, let's do this first, a plug, and then I'll just mention something that's a little bit of inside baseball. Play Majors Madness, presented by the 2017 BMW Championship this golf season. Go to WGNradio.com/contest, register, and then make your picks for the golfers you think are going to finish 1st through 10th in the British Open Championship. After the tournament, the first place winner gets a pair of tickets to the 2017 BMW at Conway Farms this September 12th through the 17th. And you'll also win a round of golf for four at the 18-hole Bolingbrook Golf Club, including warm-up range balls and a golf cart. Bolingbrook's beautiful. It's great. Love that course.
Awesome.
Played there for years. Register and play Majors Madness, presented by BMW Championship at WGNradio.com/contest. Last night, there was another story about Sinclair buying the Tribune Media Company. A couple of weeks ago, John Oliver had a long piece on Last Week Tonight. This was an ABC News Weekend piece, I believe. Might have been NBC. Point being, this company has been sold as Sinclair Media, and Sinclair owns four radio stations in Seattle and a bunch of television stations, smaller market television stations around the country. In buying this company, assuming the government agrees to everything and it closes, you know, late this year, early next year, we become part of that Sinclair situation. The stories that you continue to see are that Sinclair has a right-wing political bent to the company. And it's fairly clear there's a belief system there, but then the concern is, will that show up on local news? The general assumption in the company, for those of you who've seen this story, is it can't, because now you're dealing in Chicago and New York and Los Angeles. The concern governmentally is that the news should be fair, and at a time where everybody's screaming fake news left and right on the Trump side, you want the news to be balanced. Mm-hmm. Well, this news wouldn't be balanced if it was all Trump-related, and frankly, it's probably not a moneymaker, mm-hmm. and Sinclair is spending an awful lot of money on this company. So I would say as you see these stories, and there's probably going to be more of them, like everything else, you don't know until you know. And I believe that this company coming, and I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody in Sinclair, not a single person. But I can't imagine they're going to come in and try to tell Channel 9 what to run in the news.
Right.
Or tell us how to do a show.
Absolutely.
It just doesn't make sense. No. It's a profit killer.
And WGN has always had a solid reputation, radio and television, for fair and balanced journalism. And that will continue.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to believe that until you're proven wrong.
Right.
And again, there's no knock on the Sinclair people. I don't know them. I've got no skin in the game. Wait, of course I have skin in the game. I work here. But I hope whoever owns this place is really great and rarely speaks to me.
I think that's any
you
company.
Always like that, Steve?
It is kind of my preference overall.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Somewhere beyond the sea. This is your traditional Maine lobsterman song. The wind whipping across the bow. They like to go lobstering to this. I've asked the ambassador of Maine from the Tribune Media Company, Bill Left, to join us. Bill, you make an annual family trip to Maine.
It was a family trip. Now it's just my wife and I, sort of a romantic lobster getaway.
Right. And when she leaves you, it'll be just you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Formally.
You, weren't you just back?
Yeah. We were there 2 weeks ago.
What is the attraction to Maine before we meet our guests from Maine? Because they can tell us anything. They can tell us it's fabulous, it's great.
Right.
But you tell us the truth. What's so great about Maine?
If you've never been to Maine, you get this image in your head of what New England looks like. And then you go there, and it looks even more like it than you thought it would.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So it's all New England up.
Yeah, it's very New England.
How much of it is a movie set?
Where most of it is a movie
just,
set.
Just wood flank.
There's nothing behind it. It's just fake buildings and stuff and a fake ocean.
I have to tell you, I have been to almost all the states.
Yeah.
The big ones, the small ones, and the medium ones. And I grew up in upstate New York, and I never made it to Maine.
You and I should go. I'll go with you.
When your wife leaves you, I will take her place and go to
All
Maine.
Right.
Well, in certain ways, with you and go to Maine.
I'm in. I would love that.
But you fell in love with Maine, and now you go back every year.
Yeah, we've been going every year.
Stand by. We may need expert Maine knowledge from you.
All right.
Sonny is here, Matt is here, and Giuseppe's here. Let me start with you, Matt. What's your organization?
So we're the Maine Lobster Marketing Collaborative, and we're an industry group charged with growing demand for Maine lobster.
And as far as marketing lobster goes, your job's not that hard. It's lobster. How hard would it be to sell lobster?
You would be surprised how, people love it, but they don't know what to do with it.
What do you mean?
So they don't buy it. They don't cook it at home unless you live in Maine. You probably don't cook lobster at home because you don't know how and you're afraid of it.
Right.
A lot of chefs have the same problem. When you think about it,
so you're trying to get a lobster in every pot, literally.
In every nice restaurant.
Oh, in every nice restaurant.
Yeah. We try to stay away from the pot.
Well, in your state with your governor. And Sonny's here as well. Sonny looks like he's right off the boat, doesn't he? Doesn't Sonny look like he killed one of his crewmen just minutes ago? Sonny, what's your deal?
I'm a lobsterman from way down east Maine.
Way down east of Maine, where?
Yeah,
what town?
Beals Island.
Beals Island. Bill?
I've passed by there. I've never been there, but I have passed by.
How many people live in Beals Island?
We got about 700 people on the island.
700 people, or the roughly the same size. These guys, they walk in here, and I blame Giuseppe, you're going to meet for a second in a second for this. They walk in here, they got an entourage like Jay-Z, all for the lobster.
Better looking than Jay-Z.
And props, too.
Yes, exactly right.
It's all about the lobster.
All right, so you've been a lobsterman forever?
Yep.
Family business?
Yep. Pretty much since I was old enough, put on a pair of boots.
Who taught you, Dad?
Yep, my father.
And is he still doing it?
No, he's passed.
And what is the number one thing I need to know to be a lobsterman?
Don't
because I know
traps
you're thinking right
people.
Now. You're making an offer right now to me to come and join the crew.
Absolutely, anytime you want.
Well, what's the lesson I should know?
Take some Dramamine.
A little rocky out there.
It gets a little rough sometimes. Yes.
How rocky would the water be for you not to make a run?
It'd probably have to be blowing 30 miles an hour.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, 10, 12 foot seas, something like that.
Those are big waves.
Yeah. Well, it also depends on what time of the year it is, you know. If it's the height of the season and we're really going to make some money, then you push it a little bit harder.
And what's a great day's take of lobster?
It depends, but, you know, you could...
Depends on what?
Well, depends
on... the number of lobster?
The number of lobster, the time of year. We do better in the fall, but...
What's
your
record, your individual record?
My individual record, almost 4,000 pounds.
4,000 pounds of lobster. How about that?
Wow.
And by the way, one toothpick. That's all they have.
That's great.
I'm holding a lobster buoy. Well, this is a regular buoy. It's not a lobster buoy. It's not made from lobster. Why am I holding this? You guys brought it. What is the significance of this?
Each lobsterman has their own buoy color that they tie on the end of the rope that connects to their trap.
Okay.
And the color coordination, tells... whose buoy
it's
is.
Your territory.
That's right. It's my
stay
it's my,
out.
It's my trap. Yep. And no one else. It's illegal for anybody else to touch it.
Well, how about that? And Giuseppe, what do you do?
I have a restaurant in Chicago. It's called GT Fish and Oyster. And
now we're getting somewhere. This is where the free meal for Steve comes in.
Right.
For a few people, yes. We serve a ton of lobster at this restaurant. And I just went to Maine like a month ago.
Right.
And I learned so much about lobster. It's unbelievable.
All right. So why is Maine lobster better than other lobster?
Well, one is the, first of all, people that understand that lobster is not like a farm raise. You cannot farm raise lobster. And
it's not like that salmon scam they're running.
I don't want to get diplomatic on that. Anyway, I don't want to talk about salmon. Let's talk about lobster. So lobster.
Oh, easy, Giuseppe. It's my show. and you found out what? You say you learned so much about Maine lobster. What did you find out?
Well, think about lobster. How long do you think will take for a lobster to grow full size? What do you think?
Dave, let me go to Dave on this.
I'd say like 50 years.
50 years.
7 years.
Seven years.
Be like a pound
Dave,
lobster,
you were close.
Like
you're only 43 years off.
Okay, but I saw a big lobster that I think Bill might have seen the same one at a restaurant. And they said it was like 50 years old. But were they just lying?
Well, excuse me, Giuseppe. 7 years is the legal size it can grow to okay. to be harvested.
But how long can they live?
Well, 50 years,
okay,
60 years.
Long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're right, but it doesn't take 50 years to be fully okay. grown.
All right.
I'm sorry, Giuseppe. I can't explain it.
But Steve, a lobster that takes care of itself can live a lot longer
right,
and a healthier
right.
life.
Eats healthy.
Yeah. Eats healthy, hits the gym.
Works yep. out, yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting, though, that the lobstermen do take care of the lobster.
Yeah.
We have the best sustainability laws and rules of any fishery in the world. In fact, these guys started sustainability rules in the early 1850s. And since then, we have built a fishery that's incredibly sustainable.
So respect the environment while you work the water.
And take care of the fish. So we don't take big ones because they breed more. We don't take little ones because they need to grow. We don't take females. And not only that, don't we take the females. We notch the females. So if we catch one that has eggs on it, we'll put a mark on her tail and throw it back. And if Sonny catches it tomorrow, he knows because of that notch not to keep it.
So, that's a good call to stay away from her. From the pregnant
well,
female.
We do take females, but not right. the pregnant ones. Not the egg ones.
Okay, good call.
And Giuseppe, what do you do with this knowledge to bring it back to your joint?
Well, what I do with that knowledge, I respect the lobster a little more. And like we mentioned before, there's not too many restaurants serving lobster. Like not too many fine dining restaurants that serve lobster.
It's amazing when you think about it, because this is one of the great food cities in the world. And how would I not know that? I mean, I think there's lobster everywhere. But sure. You're right. You don't see lobster on that many menus.
No, you don't see. One is very expensive. You see lobster in most of the steakhouse, few fine dining.
Yeah.
But when you see the kind of lobster, you want to make sure, like, ask the server, like, how fresh it is and what was catch, how big is the lobster. A lot of people, they just want to eat the tail. Personally, I think the knuckle, it's the best part on the lobster.
Your name's Giuseppe, and you're telling me to eat the knuckle? What kind of cliche thing is this?
Not a knuckle sandwich, just a knuckle.
Oh, right. He brought this in for you too, by the way, Steve.
Yes, that's what Giuseppe's going to use
exactly.
on me. If
yeah.
I continue. Where's your place, GT?
GT is 531 North Wells. It's been open for about 6 years now. And, you know, we serve a ton of lobster and oyster. But lobster, like when we opened the restaurant in the beginning, we were going through like a 600 pound of lobster a week.
600 pounds?
Yep.
And Maine, again, is your choice at GT.
Most of them Maine, yep.
Yeah. GT Fish and Oyster. What's the number for reservations? You don't know your own phone number.
Correct.
All right, we'll get that. We're going to look that up because you never call yourself.
Well, I have a business card. Oh, 312-929-3501.
I was kidding about you being a secret agent earlier. Maybe I wasn't.
Nobody's calling the restaurant anymore. They just go on Open Table and online and make a reservation.
Mm-hmm. All right, then don't call. I'm trying to help you out, man. Yes, GT Fish and Oyster. All right, stick around. More from these guys in just a second. And Bill will explain what's sitting in front of him here, which he's about to start gnawing on. We're talking Maine lobster. Back with more in a second on 720 WGN.
You've offended the lobster fisherman. I never thought I'd see that.
Takes a lot to offend a lobsterman.
I never thought I'd see that.
You should have seen the look on his face when I said, do you know the lyrics to The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Really?
Yeah.
You can't say that.
Said wrong lake, idiot. 15 radio is the promo code. 15 radio, 15 radio or 1-800-LIFELOCK or lifelock.com. Again, along with our friends from, and by friends, I mean Giuseppe Tentori from GT Fish and Oyster. Matt's here. And Matt, the name of the front organization you're claiming to run?
Maine Lobster Marketing Collaborative.
All right. So what's business for you today? Other than talking about how great Maine lobster is, what's a typical day?
Well, we're gonna see four or five restaurants today off hours and train their staffs and all the chefs about Maine lobster, the differences when you catch them, the seasonal differences between lobster, the sustainability practices.
But what's the holdback from restaurants bringing in lobster that they know is going to sell?
Well, they don't. They don't know how to prepare it, and they don't understand the nuance. You know, right now, folks are really looking for a story of their food. Where did it come from? Who caught it? How do they, where are their practices? Where do they live? So sustainability is a big part. We talk about sustainability being biological with the animal, but it's also biographical with the lobsterman. You know, if people buy lobster, we support a community in Maine that, that matters. And so that's a big part of what we do and what we stress. But one of the things we talk about with the chefs is the difference between a hard shell lobster and a new shell lobster. And it's really about the time of season when we catch them. You know, the hard shell are in the winter, they're hardy, they're up against the cold water. And then when it's time to grow in the summer, they shed their shell. And when they shed their shell, they're not. It's a bigger shell, so they can grow into it. And the seawater gets in there and marinates it, and it gives us this brinier, sweet flavor. And so the best lobster roll you ever had is summertime in Maine. It's because it was a new shell lobster.
Mm-hmm.
We have some you can taste. Your free meal is here. We can taste a little difference between hard shell and new shell.
Have you been nibbling on it, Bill? Because you know how I like to start on one end of the lobster and meet you in the middle.
Right, like Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah.
That's her favorite game.
All right, so I don't know about you guys. I want to hear from Sonny here because, Sonny, there's got to be great adventures out on the boat. There's got to be slow days, but there's got to be great, great stories that you can tell. Give me one of your favorite stories. What do you mean? Why is Matt writing for you? Matt
just leaned in to tell you something. He's plugging me is what he's doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a ton of great stories. I mean, you know, just different things. I think my biggest thing is my crew that I have with me. I have a couple guys that go
with me. Are you the captain?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, because
what's the name of your boat?
Nancy Ann.
Why Nancy Ann?
It was my father's boat. It's named after my mother.
Oh, sweet as that.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So. Do you have a question? I know you're kind of...
I just want to listen to him talk. Yes. Wait, so what are the lobsters swimming?
They swim in the ocean.
Come on, the water.
The water.
Water.
Love it.
It's wicked wet.
Yeah, it is.
But this... Lobster is almost romantic to me, you know, kind of a deal.
You never thought about doing anything else of it, right? You
grew up in it? I tried something else. I went to college for electronics, actually, and I worked in Gloucester, Massachusetts for about 8 months until I decided that I wanted to be back on the water. There's your water again.
Because it's in your life.
Yeah, it's, you know,
in
it's,
your blood.
You grow up, you get salt in your veins. That's what we call it, you know. I got two little boys, 10 and 12. And they both have their lobster licenses, have their own boat, have their own
kidding.
Traps. Oh, yeah.
Cool. Wow.
So they work the boat with you?
Yeah, they probably make more money than you do.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that at all. Bill, what's your favorite part about visiting Maine?
You know, the food is a big part of it. I'll be honest with you. Every restaurant we find is always great. So the food's a big part of it.
Did you know our favorite seafood place in Chicago is GT Fish and Oyster?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giuseppe works there.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Giuseppe?
Yeah.
Giuseppe.
The lobster mobster.
Because I'm Italian?
No. Yes, exactly right. Yeah, just so we're clear. But why is Giuseppe trying to tell me the knuckle is the sweet spot?
Well, everybody likes different parts of the lobster, honestly. The knuckle, the claws taste good. The inside of the body is delicious. I, as gross as it may sound, I eat the blood and the liver.
Okay, Dracula. running short on time. And would you like to introduce the band? Who are these lovely ladies who are with you?
So that's Allison and Kelly of Weber Shandwick. They're a marketing firm, global and unbelievably effective and really very helpful. They take care of us.
All right. So for people that want more information and GT Oyster, you know, just go eat it. Just go to GT, just have a great lunch or a great dinner. But if people, you know, restaurateurs I'm talking about, restaurant folks, food vendors, those types. And I've always been curious about lobster. Is lobster something I should be doing? How do they get a hold of you?
Lobsterfrommaine.com.
Okay.
Everything you wanted to know. And it's,
Lobster from Maine.
Lobsterfrommaine.com.
All right. And by the way, if you go to Maine, you mention my name, Sonny will give you a free ride on the boat.
Absolutely.
He'll toss you into the sea, but I'll give you a
water. Take you out and make you catch your own dinner.
Into the water.
Very nice. Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you.
Come back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.